Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
We're going to go now over to that exact topic. The Duckers, two sons in the same family. Well, one now is facing criminal charges. The other one's locked away. One's already serving federal time. The other just posted $600,000 bond in Florida. Actually, you should correct that. Jim Bob posted that bond in Florida. You know, teaching his sons accountability like a good Christian father does. And he entered a not guilty plea after allegedly already admitting to this on the phone call with the father of the victim, but not guilty. And Jim Bob comes down with the check, you know, like Jesus would do. Barred from unsupervised contact with anyone under 18, you know, like Jesus would do. The investigation that started with Joseph Duggar's arrest didn't stop at Joseph. It went into the home. It found conditions that produced their own separate charges. And the Taneytown Police Department has said this investigation remains active and ongoing. The question isn't just what Joseph Duggar allegedly did. It's who knew. Who stayed silent, and whether investigators are now looking at the family system itself, which, pro tip, investigators, you need to do that. Investigators went into the Duggar home because of the Florida allegations against Joseph and allegedly came out with evidence of locks on the outside of the children's bedroom doors. Doesn't sound horrific, but it does. It's a fire code violation at the very least. But when you put it into the bigger picture perspective of everything we know now about the Duggar family and the facade that was pitched to the public for more than a decade and still continues to be by those who still follow their teachings, which led to a separate endangerment and false imprisonment charges against both Joseph and Kendra. Let's talk about that. It triggered the local charges in Arkansas and the investigation. I know they're all saying, oh, this is just too much. It's BS. When a home search tied to one of the cases produces evidence of something completely different, I'm going to ask you guys, how does that change the scope of what investigators are now authorized to pursue? And how quickly can a single case become multiple cases? Can this, because of that, can they now dig into more of the ecosystem of those around the Duggars to see, what else might we find here?
Absolutely. You are not confined just because you find out information on one type of violation. If another violation comes to light, you're able to run down the road. It just matters, are they criminal violations? Mm-hmm. And as far as that bond out, the judge made it too low it's sickening that this person is out. You know, what can I say? All these molesters need to be behind bars.
What's sickening to me specifically about it is you still have folks, and look, I am not knocking anybody's religion or anything like that. I am knocking them, the IBLP, 1,000%.
Because I'm not a religion, it's a cult.
Cult, yes. but that's the sad part of this. There's so many people who are in an organized religion that is not a cult that somehow conflate themselves as being, well, we're kind of like that. We both believe in this deity, so we must be kind of alike. No, you're not. You're not. You're very different, and let's stop pretending you're the same thing before you become the same damn thing. And I'm wondering sometimes if that's what's going through the mind of some of these judges or this and that, where they don't fully see the scope of what the hell these people actually are because the word Jesus gets involved. And it's like, well, that's a word that's been bastardized and used 1,000 times to Tuesday to coerce and control people. Not that Jesus is bad in itself, but when you use it as a weapon, as a weapon of control, yeah, it kind of goes against the whole things he talked about. That is what's very concerning to me with this case and all of the cases with the Duggars, is that too many people get too wrapped up in that, and they don't dig as deep as they should, because at the end of the day, well, they're God-fearing people. Yeah. No, I beg to differ. Jen?
Yeah, you know, it's a facade, really.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes just used as a avenue and a conduit to gain control of people again, so that they do what they want. It's so sad. I mean, we've seen it over and over again. Waco, mm-hmm. Jeff, those are two of the big ones. Obviously, different smaller groups that are more like the Duggar situation that start out with families and then they just get their web and tentacles out. I agree. You know, somehow, whenever law enforcement's involved in bad doing, or when religion is involved in bad doing, it's just way worse.
Yeah, and I'm curious too what the criteria that he had for setting the bond price, because like you said, Jen, no price is really too high for someone with this kind of accused background. But I'm really curious because, you know, we talked about the other day, the weaponized spirituality that they use and weaponized religion. And so if the judge or whoever's doing, you know, the bond stuff here is kind of allowing themselves their confirmation bias about their belief system of Christianity or their belief system of Jesus or whatever the belief system is, they superimpose it on them saying, oh, I can keep the bond here because they're all Christians. I can trust them. You know, I can trust they'll take care of their own. You know, so I'm really wondering if their own confirmation bias came in there and that they're consciously, the Duggars are consciously weaponizing or subconsciously weaponizing the whole trust that's ingratiated to them, that's given to them because of their religious beliefs, because it obviously bamboozled the judge, I think, on the bond.
You know, it's such an interesting point, but when you look at some of these judges and their decisions, I mean, you know, for me on the X platform, it's one of my strongest picadillos. Just posted about a new law that was implemented just a couple of days ago, signed off on in Florida, because an individual accused of sexual assault of a minor was out, and it was actually pre-sentence, post-conviction.
Oh, my God.
Now, and guess what they did? Tortured, assaulted, mutilated their 5-year-old stepdaughter. Need to read about this case. It's horrible. And, you know, why would the judge let somebody out? That's even after adjudication. It's those crimes. So from now
on, that is the worst time. They're awaiting sentence. What do you think they're going to do with their last hours of freedom? Oh my God.
I'm not accusing the judge of anything, but it really does make you wonder what the hell's going behind the closed doors of people who make those sort of decisions.
Especially with our confirmation bias, if we keep seeing corrupt people doing corrupt things.
Well, what other reasoning would you have? I mean, there's no sense. Other than you're not paying attention. I mean, that's the only thing I can case after case after case comes through the door and you just start phoning it in and you're not really paying attention to the details of the case. Like, oh, here's what we're going to do next case. That's not acceptable. But like, I guess that's the only morally acceptable reasoning I could think of as to why they would screw up so badly with a ruling like that, because the other is very dark. And again, I don't know, but it would certainly make me wonder what the hell's going on here that you are being this kid glovey with a person who likes kids.
Especially when it's not like Joseph is an outlier anymore either. You got 2 out of 19. That's called a pattern.
Yeah. I'd be very concerned if the pattern continues and what the digital footprint may show. Locally, in Arkansas, the Taney Town Police Department has said the investigation, and I want to be clear so people understand this, there are two different things going on here. You have the charges in Florida for the little girl, and then over here in Arkansas, you have the charges where it was triggered to go and look into the home to see is there any abuse going on in the home. What they found was allegedly the door locks being reversed. The Arkansas charges against his wife and him are not child predator type related. They are about the home and the locks and all of that. But
because I'm sure that's not related.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, connects those dots.
And I didn't mean to jump on you.
Let's see where that goes. And because I guess that's my kind of question. What they're saying about that case, if they already went in, they did their checks, they did the charges for the door locks, and you know both of them have been charged, and there's a court date coming up. But they are continuing to say that investigation remains active and ongoing. If it were just the door locks, okay, we did this, we're done. Would that investigation still be active or ongoing, or would it be wrapped up and done because, okay, here's what we found, we got nothing else?
Well, I'll tell you my first investigative step.
Yeah,
I've gotten a warrant based on the locks and the Florida situation, and I would have gotten a crime scene group in there and taken DNA and see if there's seminal fluid or semen DNA on the kids' beds, bedding, anything in there. That would be my next step.
And also, and so I'm going to give another reverse angle on this too, Jen. I would then do other areas of the house as well, because if they're locking the kids in, it might be because they don't want them coming out to be observing something else as well. So I think everything's on the playing field on that one, because it's really weird behavior. So they're either keeping them in the rooms for the sake of having them locked in a room, but also keeping them in rooms because they don't want them being able to pop out while something else is going on in another room. So when you have that kind of control, there's a lot of things that control can be used for. So think about this. So he's accused of touching a young lady, a girl. What was
9-year-old at the time.
9 years old in another state.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of that happening closer to home is pretty high. And so if you want to rule out, so he's comfortable doing this with someone not part of family. That means if you're going to have someone not part of family in that house, you're going to want to keep people away from being able to observe it. I don't know, just pure kind of jumping conjecture on that. But it's a control issue to me. So there's a lot there.
And I don't have any confirmation on this, but there is some inklings on the internets. The world wide webs, if you will, that maybe a little closer to home than we are aware of in terms of the individual. May not just be a family friend, maybe a little. The dynamic might be a little more than we're aware of. But again, I don't know for sure. Can't confirm anything, but that would be an interesting turning point in all of this. Jen, have you heard the phone calls between the two? No, nobody's heard him yet. Okay, we got to bring those up one of these. Maybe Monday we'll do it. But it's a very, very interesting situation. It seems like they're in, especially Kendra, his wife. She seems genuinely confused. She's saying we can't trust anyone. She still seems very much on his side, but very much confused as hell. I mean, she's been brought up in this. She only knows this world. She was married off to him, you know, within the IBLP community. So she's, you know, full born and bred cult member. And I do have some grace for her because that's the only world that she knows. But as we've seen in other situations like FLDS and things, when Warren Jeffs gets busted or Bateman gets busted, some people finally go, okay, I'm seeing the light now. I have no idea. We had no idea this was horrible and bad. But that is the thing, that it's that impenetrable wall that so many of these religions put up and then law enforcement can't seem to get into. I'm doing a piece on Bateman right now. There's a great Netflix doc coming out next week about it, or this week about it. Where the police did investigate Bateman, the FLDS offshoot after Jeffs got arrested. They did go and talk, and every time it was like, well, looks like things are okay here, and then they went off and did their own thing. It took a documentarian to really break that third wall or fourth wall. In this case here, I would say to investigators out there, don't walk away. This needs to be looked into deeply and closely. And your comment there about looking for the fluids, that's an interesting one. That makes a lot of sense. Is that something that they would need? I mean, do they have enough right now to go in and do that? Should some investigator get a wild hair, or the light bulb goes above their heads, or a certain podcaster sends them a video clip of Jennifer Coffendaffer making this suggestion to them and saying, hey, here's a thought. Could that maybe make a reason for another warrant and a return visit to the Duggar house?
All you need is probable cause.
Huh.
Low bar. And in a case like this, I think they can get it. Possibly, I don't know what else they have, but I'm like, in a case like this, yeah, digital trail. Uh-uh. I want the physical trail. Secondarily, on your first comments regarding her.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tony. It is Fun Friday. Blah, blah, blah. It's like Valo.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Just because they're women doesn't mean they're stupid and doesn't mean they're truly controlled. Did she not see the locks? Hello? Why? Are they running a kennel?
Kind of.
It's absolutely so degrading and so wrong. And I hold her completely accountable for anything that took place in that house.
Yeah, being indoctrinated into a cult is not part of your defense.
It's not. I don't know what is wrong with me today. I'm like being kind and
kind,
like,
Friday.
Who are you?
I don't know.
And I'm saying all these pure, and like, because of Jen's conversation about what the Bureau would do, I'm like, wow, that's actually a really good memory of me, you know, for the Bureau. Like, I'm saying positive Bureau experiences. Tony's being kind. What the hell? Raining cats and dogs?
I don't know what's going on. I should just walk away right now. But like with the FLDS, specifically in the Bateman case, because I just did a piece on it this morning, they went lighter on some of the women that were Bateman's followers because they had been Warren's followers. They'd been born into this. And really, Kendra was born into this, too. Yes, she's a grown-ass adult. She has her own autonomy. So does Joseph. So do all of these people. But in the FLDS-type situation in Utah, they did go light. They did sentence some of the women that were putting their children out there for Bateman to go at. But they went lighter because they did try to understand these people know nothing more than their ecosystem. Are they running a kennel? I would say kind of. I mean, look, you're locking the people from the outside in their rooms. Essentially, this is kind of the world that she grew up in, too. And this is the atmosphere in which they raise their humans to be complicit, to be non-educated, to not really be able to see or understand anything on the outside world. In terms of what is ethically sound, safe, and well, they are told anything on the outside. Anybody questioning the bizarre shit that they do on the inside, it's witchcraft. They're evil. It's the enemy coming in to get you. And so they believe this shit. There is that element to it. And that's where I wonder if there's going to be any grace for her. Granted, the charges she faces are very minimal. They're misdemeanors. She's not going to see jail time. Unless, of course, it gets deeper. Unless, of course, it gets to the point where, what if, and this is pure conjecture, this is not fact, this is not anything, unless, of course, they do get into that house and they do start finding more stuff. And they do start saying, oh, you just looked the other way, didn't you? While Dad had to go do whatever Bible study or whatever the hell he's calling it with the kids. That seems to be I guess, a little different if she had knowledge. But I mean, that's, I don't know what my question is here, but that's, I want you to riff off of that.
I can frame it. Can I take that and frame it into a question for Jen?
Yeah.
So based on all that, it looks like, from, again, outside appearances from what she's been presenting, is that Kendra is, you're not saying complacent, but she doesn't seem, the shock and awe and grow and just reaction.
Brainwashed.
Of what her husband did didn't seem to be impacting. In other words, she wasn't projecting shame from what we've been seeing onto Joseph's actions. And so if he doesn't feel that she is judging him in any way, his being more open with the things he's doing is going to be higher. Would you, I mean, like from the cases you've seen, Jen, if someone's reaction was not being, you know, just totally grossed out by what your husband did, are they more or less likely to actually be complicit in that because of that comfort level she seems to have with him and what he's done?
Absolutely. We can take a microcosm of a case that everybody knows about, and that's,
Gallo?
Nope. Madeline.
Maddie Soto?
Yep. Take a microcosm
Stephen Stern.
Of that case.
Yep.
And that is the microcosm of a woman that well knows what's happening.
Yeah,
example.
And that it's just a microcosm how women know they let them sleep with their kid. It's so gross. And, you know, they just blind themselves because of what they don't want to lose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Evil incarnate right there. That's a great example of being, of rationalizing away the most evil in people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Speaking of the shame, that's another interesting thing that I noticed on that phone call, or the multiple phone calls between Kendra and Joseph in the last handful of days. There's no shame. Now, I'm not expecting them to be on a phone call like, oh my God, they got me. I mean, I don't that's not where these people like this react. But they're talking about this case as if they were, you know, ordering McDonald's, like, well, you know, on a quarter pounder for lunch. I mean, it was just.
She wasn't shocked, was she?
No, she wasn't. She was feeling like sad that he was behind bars, that he's getting accused of these things, and he's reading the Bible, and he's, oh, I'm so glad you're doing that. And she's talking in the mimic Michelle voice. It's so sad. I mean, it's just so creepy because neither of them seem to feel neither of them are expressing, you're not feeling any shame out of either of them on these phone calls. I don't know why one I would expect that. I don't know, because it's a human emotion that if somebody gets caught doing this shit, they should feel. But I guess if you're doing it to begin with, you're kind of absent to that from the get-go, aren't you?
You know, I always make this analogy. I know I've done it here too.
Yeah.
Watch Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
I know it's Tarantino and his, but it's so true that in the criminal world, it all starts to become so normal. It's mm-hmm. like washing dishes. Oops, accidentally shot the guy behind me. You clean up the brains. No, you clean it up, or whatever it might be. This behavior is normal. It's like you and I, like you said, going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
The normalcy becomes our day and our moment and how we feel. And that is why you see when you work these hideous cases over and over, it looks like no empathy because that's just their life. They think it's normal.
So let's go to the arcs, you know, the life arcs, behavior arcs we keep talking about. So to all these points, everything that during this conversation, there's not an emotional response spiking out of their normal.
Yeah.
Which means all the topics that they're talking about are falling within a pattern of what they're normally talking about, normally exposed to, have seen before. Because when we see something new, there's a new stimulus comes in, we have a reaction. Our tempo is reacting, our body language is reacting, our voice, inflection, all these things is reacting to new information coming in. We've done, I mean, how many of us have done the analysis? Jen's one of the leading on this on Porch Man in Nancy Guthrie's house. He has reps on that porch because he was fluid on that porch. There was nothing, even the cam, the stupid stuff he's doing, he had reps in doing this on that porch. this conversation, there's reps, maybe not in specific conversation, but the topic doesn't seem to be shocking or appalling to anyone involved. They've seen it before somehow.
Yeah, I mean that, and I'm wondering about that a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm talking over you, Jen. Go ahead.
No, I just said great point.
Okay. What comes to my mind here, and the only way to explain it, and again, I have no evidence of this. I'm not accusing anybody of this. But the only way that anyone is speaking about this in such a normalized way, and then I don't understand how it would be normalized unless it's accepted as, well, that's just how life is. This is what people do to you when you're young, is if these people had all these adults who are victimizing children have also been victimized themselves and have somehow done the mental gymnastics to not find it to be unacceptable of what happened to them, that then somehow they normalize it and then they you know, repeat the pattern and perpetrate it on others. That's what comes to mind. And when you have an ecosystem like this, where this just kind of keeps happening over and over, you end up with people that, I grew up just fine. And like, they don't realize how warped they are because that was normal to them. So it makes me really wonder, you know, is this the cycle that's continuing, and what happened to these people that make them act as if it is like ordering McDonald's?
Yeah, it is, Tony. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's not only with sexual abuse, but you'll see it in physical abuse.
Yeah.
It's persistent and persists throughout their children. And it's, some people break the pattern. I'm not saying they don't. I was not too long ago in Utah, and I'll be careful with this, doing some interviews with a writer on a case. And it was specifically about the people in this town and how incest was pervasive. Mm-hmm. And have a town where it's a very small town in Utah where people, many of them have club feet. Cleft palates? No, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
In interviewing them, you walk in and you're like, yep, I'm married to my first cousin. I'm not even kidding you. Well, they would be proud when they could say, I'm actually married to my third cousin. We didn't interview anybody that wasn't married to a cousin, because that is what this, you know, area and society grew up.
Yeah.
It's fine. So it's just to your point that it persists.
Yeah, it's insidious, it's pervasive, and it's so damaging, and it can basically create monsters from the ground up. People who came into this world and didn't ask for any of it, but that's what they end up being made into. It's not to excuse any of it, but when you create a culture of cultivating monsters with this sort of behavior, this is what you get. I mean, even if you wrap it up in a bow and put it on television on TLC and make it to this, you know, colloquial, oh, these gosh darn cute folks, aren't they naive? Yeah, little do you know back at home.
It's a nutter factory.
I like that. Nutter factory.
Wackadoodles.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Nutter factory creating wackadoodles.
We'll get t-shirts soon with all that. And don't miss McDonald's new 19 Kids and Counting Happy Meal. Collect all 19 figures today.
Cost you $150.
I'm going to make that on AI. I'm going to make a commercial. That'll be fun. All right, let's go over to another. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
More Duggars today, everyone. And we're going to go through all different facets of the Duggar story, where it's at. The communication specifically is what we're going to be examining. A letter from Jim Bob to Joseph, which, believe it or not, seems to be the most grounded and sane communication of all of the communications we're about to go through today. And also, as you probably have heard, some of the phone calls between Kendra and Joseph Duggar, we're going to be playing some of them, and we're going to be breaking them down. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, of course, our co-host, always with us. We're going to be going through all of this. My goodness, Robin, there's a lot to get through here today. I read the Jim Bob letter. I've listened to a lot of portions of the calls. I haven't gone through them completely because I wanted to have a bit of an element of surprise as we go through it today.
But I listened to them twice.
Yeah, well, and there's more. They keep coming. There's more and more. I mean, delusional, I mean, seems to be the word. I don't know. What before we jump in, we're going to start with the letter here. But when you over the weekend had a chance to kind of to take some of it in, how would you describe what this is all about?
Boy, Tony, this has been a really challenging one because this hasn't been like, and that's an interesting word, delusional. Mm-hmm. But when you have a collective delusion, is it delusional or is it just a collective insanity?
Yeah.
Because it really is, you know, like Lori Daybell Vallow. Now that's delusional nutter, right? Mm-hmm. And same cult-like mentality. They had their own little version of their own religion going on. But the Duggars are something wholly different because, yes, it's fits the definition of cult-ish because mm-hmm. there's elements that don't quite make it, but it's this collective delusion. And I'll tell you, we were talking about this on the pre-show a few minutes ago. I'm really struck by how common this is to them, how non-surprising these things are that keep popping up. And as people have followed us for a while know, I'm such a lover of history. And I was like, where am I recognizing this from? Mm-hmm. Because I've seen this before in history. And you know what? You got to go back to what years was it? Like 800 to 400 BCE, ancient Greeks. They had a culture. They had this ideology that, you know, we called it mentorship. But what they did to young boys really screams very similar horrendous things that they did, doing really bad things to boys, mm-hmm. And they called it mentorship. And yet it was a collective societal norm. It was gross. It was horrendous. And that's what I'm seeing with the Duggars. And just the IBLP, it is just this collective normalcy of stupid. It's disgusting.
It is. I mean, it, if you make that your normal and you give it a word that otherwise means something good, but there's something negative truly behind it, but nobody's thinking that when you're saying it aloud until you look at what they're actually defining that as. You're like, wait a second here. This isn't mentorship. But it's amazing what you can convince the collective the definition of a word is, even if that's not the true definition of it.
Yeah, because what was... You know, and so here's the, you know, so that's what the ancient Greeks did for this normalization of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And here's what the Duggars are doing. They're not saying, hey, abusing children is right. What they're doing is what's more right is forgiveness.
Yeah.
I did a lot of deeper research on trying to understand their hierarchy of sins and what they phrase their sins as. And that's what really struck me. So to understand how it is they're able to keep perpetuating this and not seemingly having this moral outrage that the rest of us are having, because I wrote a few of these things down. So the number one sin you can do, they kind of have two categories as I've broken down. Again, I'm paraphrasing from my limited experience here. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's better experts on this. But the number one sin is rebellion against authority. That is the number one sin. So those whole umbrellas you put up for this, that is the number one sin, is rebellion against authority. The meek voice you hear the women go through and use, that's been trained into them because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be always happy, 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 mm-hmm. happy, no matter what. Happy voice, right? That's part of it. The number two sin is sexual sins by people in authority. But what they don't call it sexual sins. They call it moral failings. And so anytime you have a group that rationalizes behavior by reframing words so they have a lesser impact, that's a problem. So they call moral failings. But I really think is, I don't want to say, because it's putting words into nutters' mouths, that they do these things intentionally, but what they really, really, really covet is forgiveness. And because when you forgive someone, they're restored. And so the whole premise of this entire cult is restoration. Restoration by vocalizing your moral shortcomings. And as soon as you vocalize them, you have to forgive, because forgiveness is the whole point of their whole nutter organization. So that's how this thing keeps perpetuating. Yeah. They lessen the impact by choosing softer words like moral failings instead of sexual abuse or S abuse, you know, because we're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And restoration is what they are looking for. We want to be restored. So that's kind of as I understood it. So when I'm listening to these tapes, when I'm listening to these transcripts, I'm keeping that in mind. And they are spot on with that belief system when they're doing it.
It's so disturbing. I mean, it's crazy. Knock the blocks down and pick them back up. And then
they made it their own way. They made their own world.
Yeah, you're the hero for doing it. And if you're going to criticize someone for picking up the blocks after they knock them all down, then you're the wrong one.
Great analogy.
Frame it certain ways. And I mean, it's how they survive. And it's how people within those circles don't. When the ones that do get out, they're out. You can't be half in with this group or any sort of group that thinks this sort of way. It makes it impossible to be like, oh yeah, you know, we see them on the holidays. They're so fundamentally different than the rest of society that either you're all in or you're not, because you can't be kind of half in, because if you're just half in, you're like, what the hell is going on over here? You either have to drink all the Kool-Aid or not at all. We're going to start with one of the letters. This is the letter that Jim Bob has written to Joseph in jail. He is out now, by the way, but here's Jim Bob's initial response to the shortcomings, the moral
failings, failings.
The moral failings of his son. Do we have, I want to get some appropriate music here. Here we go.
It was hard listening.
Joseph, I'm sorry for what you're going through. Mom and I love you very much. Looks like you have a long road ahead of you, but God will get you through. You've made some terrible decisions, but God has already forgiven you if you have asked him. This is the first that we're seeing of any of the Duggars holding anybody somewhat accountable of saying, you made a bad choice. Kendra is doing well overall. That's his wife. She is trusting in the Lord. She loves you very much. Your kids are going to be okay. Let's talk to them when they're 30. Our family has pulled together to help. Several of the sisters and sisters-in-law have taken Kendra out and spent a lot of time with her. It is ridiculous that they charged Kendra and arrested her. We have hired an attorney to help Kendra. We are praying that we get her charges dropped. You would be so proud of your brothers and grateful for them for how they've all stepped up and are helping with the details of your business and helping Kendra, meaning he like had an Airbnb property or two. You are going to have to accept the situation at this point, and it's also fine to pray that God would have mercy on you, but you're probably going to face a major consequence for several years to come. I pray that God will bring other Christians into your life to encourage you, and that you can also point people to Christ even through the time you're in jail. God will be with you. He will get you and your family through. David in the Bible royally messed up, but he repented and became a man after God's own heart. You also, like Joseph, who was in prison, can make lemonade out of lemons. I love you and will keep praying for you. Don't give up. God is not finished with your life. Love you, Dad. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. That's how Dad's dealing with.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So what part you want to go to first?
I don't even know.
So one of the things that really struck me with both the letter and then all the jailhouse calls between Joseph and Kendra was the family, mm-hmm. the family. We know the family is a big part of this. And so remember, you can't rebel against authority. Family is authority. And so what they did is they swooped in to control the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing they're doing. The family is controlling the narrative. You're not going to go against the narrative. And so they swooped in to young Kendra, who is completely overwhelmed. And when, I know we'll get to this later on other segments, but you know, her incongruence between her words and her body falling apart because of the stress is quite remarkable and incredibly sad to listen to, as she's getting no sympathy whatsoever every time someone brings a problem. Oh, just keep praying, man. Just read this. The other thing that I found really striking, and you got to keep listening to all these things and reading to kind of see some chinks in this armor. And this was really interesting to me. The other thing that struck me, Tony, during this entire thing was I had a presumption that because this is such a religious Christian right-wing cult or cult-like mentality, that they were all exceptionally well-versed in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really found interesting, they're well-versed selectively in the Bible. They have their own confirmation bias according to what they want to suck out, use for their own benefit, and manipulate. Because what's happened is, again, from my conjecture, from my observations and analysis, is that, remember, who's the nutter that created this IBLP?
Bill Gothard.
He created his own version of all this in his booklets and pamphlets in the homeschooling program. So they selectively have taken passages out of the Bible without studying the Bible, because Kendra seemed amazed at all these things that Joseph is telling her to read. She's like, and she doesn't do it. She's have a hard time doing it. He's Joseph behind bars. Oh, it's the first time I've read Psalms. Oh, Psalms is pretty good. Oh, this version of the Bible is like, everyone seemed pretty... I was shocked at their lack of education in an area I thought they're going to be really well-versed in. They're well-versed in the doctrine that they were indoctrinated into, not what they are claiming is their source material. So their source material and the doctrine are way off. So mm-hmm. it really reminded me of? I remember after 9/11 in New York when I'm working with Middle Eastern countries and Middle Eastern recruitments and everything like this. And I remember one of my people that I'd recruited and became a great source of intelligence for us, and he's from a Middle Eastern country. I remember asking him, you know, what's the biggest problem, you know, that's creating, you know, fundamentalists, you know, that are very anti-world, anti-West. And he goes, oh, that's easy. He goes, said, money is one thing, because if they have the fear of they're going to lose something, then you want to hold on to what you have fear. Remember, fear is the greatest motivator. So if losing something is part of it, so they have to have some way to provide income. But also education. I said, what do you mean by education? I've heard this a lot. He goes, when you can't read the Quran for yourself and you're relying on the mullahs to teach you and tell you what's in that document, you're now only going to be resonating with what you were taught by a mullah, which not necessarily in the Quran. Mm-hmm. And what do we have here? Exactly the same thing. You are taught something by the founder of IBLP, and it's not actually what's in. So they're not reading it for themselves. They're actually mm-hmm. reading the crap that were spewed out in the homeschooling, in all their pamphlets of learning, and all their clubs that they send you, their work camps during the summer to rehabilitate you from doing your S crimes against other children.
Yeah.
They created their own whole universe that is separate, because I want to make sure, you know, that what we're saying, this is not a religious bashing. This is like, they created their own religion completely.
This is a come to Jesus for those who are in the
cult.
Literally. Yeah. Literally.
That's what brainwashing is. So yeah,
or is they're going to look at us as the enemy. What I'm finding interesting here, and I'm seeing some of the dynamic at play, and I'm investigating this off the air, and there'll be some pieces about it soon, is the dynamics about the Duggars and Kendra. Because Kendra, I mean, she was brought up in a very religious family. It wasn't IBLP. It was a Baptist one. It wasn't quite IBLP, but pretty extreme. Their family had a fallout with the Duggars. Jim Bob, allegedly, and her dad had allegedly this fallout several mm-hmm. years ago. Around 2020. interesting timing, around the time of a certain family vacation where a certain thing allegedly happened. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, we can't confirm anything, but it's very interesting. What I'm interested in watching here right now, and I think everybody should be paying really close attention to, is the wagons being circled around Kendra. Because Kendra is a, I would say, a loose end for them. Because Kendra could very quickly go, you know what, I'm out. I'm not part of y'all. Because the way it looks right now, and again, I could be very off on this, but from what I've read on the internets, and I'm not saying that just like some random stuff. I mean, it's a lot of information that's out there on this. It looks like there's a level of estrangement that is going on between Kendra and her own family. I don't know exactly if that's with them and their daughter, or if it's more so the Duggars as a whole, and it's just kind of rough patches between, but there's some roughness. I would venture to say, in my opinion, if I were to look at these two families, Kendra's family, not such big fans of the Duggars. I think they might see them for what they are, in my opinion. And the way that the Duggars are circling the wagons around Kendra, we're going to provide you with an attorney. We're going to take care of your children. We're going to take care of all of your earthly needs. So basically, you can't get rid of us. Because we are engrossing ourselves into every, we're tentacling ourselves into every little aspect of your life to prevent you from breaking out of this. She's out staying with one of the brothers right now, and stupid enough to say it on a recording. So she is being, I mean, and look, families, you know, this is nothing crazy. Families do circle their wagons and they go and they support each other. But there's what I would say would be like noble for the right reason, moral, ethical support. And then there's let's make sure she doesn't say anything too nasty or too much of the truth doesn't come out. Because Kendra, I think, could probably spill quite a bit of shit that we don't know about yet, that nobody knows about yet, that she's been dealing with, that maybe if somebody put a little spotlight on it and go, oh, see, you know, it's like with the Duggars. It's folks like this, you know, you take the black light and go, oh, holy shit, look how dirty this room is. But they don't see it that way until they get the black light shown on it. And I think there's a lot there to be seen, which they should incidentally do around that home, Tawnytown Police Department, as suggested by Jennifer Coffendaffer. Go take the black light. Let's go look around the Duggar house. Let's look in those kids' bedrooms and see what sort of fluids we find, because that may answer a lot of questions. They're very much trying to entrench her, it feels like, in my opinion, to keep her as part of the fold, because I think her as a loose cannon could be even more devastating than their own children leaving, because she has a whole other family behind her that I'm sure would love to be behind her and have her seeing reality on reality's terms, because she is not right now. And we'll get into that in a minute with the phone calls.
Yeah. And one of the viewers, Mark Fry, put in, you know, the word threatens. I don't think the word threatened. I don't think there's a lot of threatening going on. But remember, this cult is all about authority.
Coercive control.
And it's going against authority. So this, Tony, this makes total sense what you're seeing. Again, conjecture from what we're seeing on the Google machine, right? About there being a rift in families. I know if one of my children was having their spouse or significant other accused of this, we'd be leaving Nutterville in 5 seconds, saying we'd be having some very, very pragmatic, objective conversations about next steps in life, about working this problem, and about resolving this and breaking away from the Nutters. And so what's happening is, if that's any semblance of truism, which if it's a healthy, normal family, it is, Kendra's already been indoctrinated to a large degree. You can tell because she's taken on The Voice, like in the movie Dune.
Yeah.
The Voice, right? She's got The Voice going, which means she's been indoctrinated and just listening to the phone calls and everything. And then what's happened is, remember, they are circling the wagons of control. So this family is love bombing and validating bombing her, saying, hey, we got this. Just sit back. We got this. Keep your voice going. You'll be rewarded. God is testing. We love a test. This is what life is about. Life is about a struggle. Life is about testing. And so the fact that you're taking on this, it means that you're a righteous person. You'll be rewarded. Oh my God. And so she has on one side a family that is love bombing, circling the wagons around her, protecting her from their point of view, but really controlling her narrative because you cannot speak out against the authority. Remember those umbrellas, you can't step out of the umbrella. They don't have to say it. They're implying what happens if you step out from that umbrella, because we've seen, I think, some pretty granular interactions they've had when cameras haven't been on or they don't think they've been on. And it's everything's very congruent. That's what's really striking about this. I don't think there's an act going on. They all believe this crazy.
Yes.
And they're living this crazy. And so they are just doing what they normally do when something goes awry. But see, this is interesting. I don't think they see this as going awry. They see, thank goodness, we're being tested again.
Yeah.
This is the way it's supposed to be. In other words, I don't think they really have, like the two boys, Joseph and Josh, were they really taught to not do this? I know they weren't encouraged to do these things. I mean, that's incongruent. I don't believe it. Their parents, I don't believe Jim Bob or Michelle are trying to encourage these kids to do these things.
No.
But was there really an incentive to not? If all you had to do to be forgiven of this moral sin was to ask for forgiveness, and now it's everyone's responsibility to give restoration. Because restoration overcomes any sin. You see how this cyclical thing works? So where's the motivation to not do something abhorrent, but it's not abhorrent to them, it's just a moral failure.
When you can just write everything off as a moral failure and you're immediately forgiven, I mean,
yes.
It seems so common to them. Yeah, you don't sit with the consequence. You don't sit with the guilt. You don't sit with the shame. And I guess that was one of the most striking things to me.
There's no guilt or shame, yes.
About these phone calls that we're about to take a listen to. It's absent of guilt or shame. Absent, complete. And I'm not. And I get you can only say certain things on a jailhouse phone call, but this is just completely absent. I've heard plenty of jailhouse phone calls where the person's guilty as shit, and they're shame. This is just like he's like ready to order an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
I know.
And there's just nothing to it. Your thoughts in the comment section on this part, on Jim Bob's letter and everything, give it to us on Substack and YouTube. The links are right there in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Oh my gosh, you can't be serious. You think making the pick is the hard part? No, it's not. The pick takes like 3 seconds. You know what's hard? The sweat. The time between locking in and cashing out. Yeah, you have a take, but in the end, it's not about the winners or losers. This is about us, man. Whether we're brave enough to sit through it. Don't fight the sweat. Live in it. Because you are an underdog. Underdog. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.